Thank you for coming to the Lord's house this morning. We're so glad you're here. Good to have Brother Philip and his family here. And you're always welcome to come and be a part of the church family. I know from my years as a pastor, once you're part of the family, you're always a part of the family. Doesn't matter where we go and move on, we're still a part of the family, and we're glad that you're here. I want to do something else before we look into the Word of God. If you're planning on helping with Bible school, I want to pray for you. So would you stand up? Even if you're going to mop the floor or cook or whatever, you know. All right. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for these who are willing to sacrifice time and energy and effort to be a part of this ministry this week. I pray your special anointing upon them as they share in whatever way that they're going to share. Father, I pray that you'll minister to them as they love on the children. Father, I pray your protection around about them, their bodies, their time, their talents, their energies. Father, I pray for the children that will come. I pray that you'll bring them from north, south, east, and west. That those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will hear about Jesus and will give their heart and life to Him. That those who are already Christian will be strengthened in their walk with you and grow in their faith, in their commitment. And Father, we thank you that we do not do any of this in our own strength, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you that He's present in this service and all through the week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. You know, for a few years, a certain credit card company made famous the expression, "What's in your wallet?" And I know you're going to be surprised to hear a preacher say this, but I don't care what's in your wallet. I want to know what's in your well. What's in your well? Vance Havner was an evangelist, Southern Baptist evangelist. Grew up, I think, in Yancey County, up in the foothills or the edge of the mountains of North Carolina. One of the most inspiring writers and preachers I've ever heard in all my life. He had an expression that he used sometimes that went like this: "What's down in the well is what comes up in the bucket. What's down in the well is what comes up in the bucket." You know, if you've got hard water in the well, when you drop that bucket in there, that's what's coming up. If you've got soft water, if you've got sweet water, that's coming up. Now, if you used a different type of well, you might be pulling up oil or natural gas. Now, those of you who are old timers will remember that when you used to go to the beach, you carried your Stanley County water with you because the water down there smelled and tasted like a family of skunks died in the well. Anybody besides me remember that? You know. What's down in the well comes up in the bucket. That's true in our natural water wells or gas wells or oil wells. But it's also true in our spiritual lives. Let's look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, and we'll start reading at verse 33. "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Notice there what Jesus says at the last half of verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's down inside of us in our spirit, what's down inside of us in our very life force, is that which is going to come out in our words, in our actions, in our choices. This is just the way it is. Now, we can fake it for a little bit. You know, we can grit our teeth and in certain circumstances hold everything under control. But sooner or later, what's down inside is going to come out. Now, let me ask you about some situations. In your daily life, what comes out in your relationship with your family? What comes out in your relationship at work? Are you the kind of worker that when you walk in the door, your coworkers are glad? Or are you the kind of worker that they said, man, I'm sure I'm glad he's taking the day off today? Are you that kind of church member? You know, as a preacher, you want everybody present that you can possibly get. But honestly, sometimes you're glad that certain folks don't show. Now, maybe I shouldn't confess that. I'm glad that so far at Barbie's Grove, I haven't seen a single person like that. This is a unique church. I haven't found a single person like that. I'm thinking about one church. There was a guy and his wife that had such a nasty, negative attitude that they just, you know, brought a cloud when they walked into church. And in his later years, they started going to Florida sometime between Thanksgiving and Christmas and coming back about Easter. And you could see the church members dancing a little jig when they saw that camper going around the curve. You know, because he brought such a nasty, negative attitude to the church. And then, you know, whenever they saw that camper coming back sometime in the spring, it's like, I wish he'd have stayed a few more weeks. What's down in the well comes up in the bucket. That's just the way he was. I knew him for a long, long time, and that's just the way he was. What about the people that you do business with? Pastors' conference meets once a month, and usually we go out to eat together afterwards, and lately we've been going to the same place, and I've noticed that one of the pastors has just a fantastic relationship with the other, with the waitresses. And the last month, the pastor beside of me said, that pastor eats here about three times a week. Well, evidently he must have developed over a period of time a good relationship. What's in his well is blessing those waitresses. Being a blessing to them. I think back to the days when we used to run the curb market. There were certain customers that when they drove up, all four of us boys, if we happened to be there, we found something to do. I mean, you know, I'm going to go grind some hamburger. I'm going to go fill up the watermelon box. I'm going to fill up the drink box. And we'd make mama wait on those certain nasty customers. Time after time, mama had to wait on those customers because as soon as we looked out the window and saw them drive up, we're going to go get busy and leave mama to deal with them. I hope I'm not that kind of customer. What's down in the well comes up. In all of our daily relationships, what's down in the well comes up in our times of crisis. When the doctor gives us bad news. When we lose our job. When we're betrayed by a spouse. When we're criticized justly or unjustly. You know, when you're doing your best and somebody just jumps down your throat. and says ugly and nasty things to you or about you, what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. When we have decisions to make, special occasions, choosing where we're going to college, I think about our daughter. I won't name the college, but they offered her the best scholarship that college offers. Free ride. And they said, oh, you're going to live in a special dorm. And the girls' room here, and there'll be a boys' room here, and a girls' room, you know, and just all walking up and down the hall, everybody all mingled together. She says, keep your scholarship. I refuse to be in a place where boys and girls are walking up and down the hall at the same time on the way to the shower or whatever, and they can pop into each other's room at any moment. I refuse to be a part of that. When you choose a college, what difference? When you choose a spouse, do we choose for godly reasons? You know, the Bible talks about being unequally yoked together. And how many pretty sweet young girls I've seen saying, oh, but you know, he's promised, it'll be different after we're married. But after we're married, he sucks her away from the Lord. What's down in the well is going to come up. When we make choices like that, when we choose a career. When we choose a career, are we asking, Lord, what would you have me do? Or is it, where can I get the most money? Or where can I get the most prestige? What's down in our well is going to come up. You know, when saying or doing the right thing is not politically correct. And we have a choice to go along with the crowd and do whatever everybody else is doing or stand for what's right. What comes up from deep down inside? What comes up from deep down inside? You know, dozens of times a day, every one of us has to drop the well down into that bucket, down into the well of our life, our heart. And Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, the mouth act, we act, we react. Out of what's inside is what comes up. Now, you know, some folks are like cisterns. Dug, made holes, sometimes plastered or whatever. And whatever you pour in is what's there. Jeremiah calls the people in his day people that had forsaken the fountain of living water for cracked cisterns. In other words, he said they leak. And yeah, unfortunately, there's some Christians like that. They leak. Doesn't matter how much the pastor or Sunday school teachers and others pour the word of God into them, it just leaks right out. Rather than become a refreshing what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. But now, what about a real well? It's usually fed by an underground vein of water. And depending on the strength of that vein of water, that well can be lasting for a long time. There may be somebody here, you say, you know, our family's been using that well for 50 years, and even in the driest times, it's never run dry. And when you have a great vein of water that's feeding a well, and that well is producing good water, how wonderful it is. Now, what about the vein that's feeding your heart, your innermost being? How big is it? And what's flowing in? What's flowing into your life? What's flowing into your life? Let's look at some other scriptures. If you would go with me back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And see if this is what's feeding your heart. Psalm 119. First, we'll start with verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. What's the psalmist saying? He's saying, Lord, I want your word hidden as a part of my heart. I want your word strong in my life, because I know that your word in my life will produce a good fruit, that it will keep me from a life of sin. God, I want your word. I want your word. Go back to Psalm 19. Skip, you know, 100 Psalms back to Psalm 19. We'll look at verse 14. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Again, the psalmist praying, Lord, my meditation, that which I think about, let it be acceptable to you. Lord, I want my life in accord with your life and with your will for me. Lord, let it be in me. Let it be acceptable to you. Skip back down to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear to their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do what? According to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Joshua is commanded, don't turn away from the law. Don't turn away from the word of God. Meditate on it day and night, and if you do, your life will be prosperous. You'll be blessed. You'll be a blessing. Now you think about this for just a moment. Joshua would have had the first five books of the Bible. That's all he would have had. The psalmist would have had some of the historical books. You've got the whole Bible. Joshua never saw the New Testament. The psalmist never saw the New Testament. You have all the wonderful promises of God that are found there in the New Testament. And when we begin to think and we begin to study those, what a difference it will make. Everybody here has 24 hours a day. There's a lot of days I'd like to have more. Some days I'd really like to have less if they're not going so well. We've got 24 hours a day. depending upon your job, your family situation, each one of us has a varied amount of time that we can spend in feeding our heart with the things of God. How do we do it? In the Lord's house, hearing His word preached and taught, reading and studying His word, listening to good tapes, CDs, you know, tapes shows how old I am, CDs or whatever, thumb drives or whatever you have now, maybe something else newer than that. I'm just not very technologically advanced. But, you know, there are all kinds of things to do. I went out this week and I've been borrowing my wife's CD player, and I went out this week and bought myself a little one because I've been listening to some fantastic CDs of some great teachers and preachers. Take an hour or two a day and listen. Feeding my innermost man, my innermost being, with the presence of God. Some of you like to read, some of you hate to read. It doesn't matter. Listen to a CD if you hate to read. What kind of music? And you see, we can feed that innermost being good things, or we can pollute it. We can read the wrong kind of materials. We can listen to the wrong type of teachings. We can play the wrong type of video games. And parents, grandparents, it's so vitally important what you let your children ingest into their minds and into their hearts. You know, I stayed at each of my churches a long time, and it breaks my heart to think about some of those kids. When I walked in the house of the parent, the grandparent, to see some of the things that the kids were allowed to watch on TV, some of the games they were allowed to play with, some of the things they were allowed to read. And then 10 years later, see how those kids, when they became teenagers and young adults, no longer walk with God. When their hearts are tender, when their minds are pliable, what you as a parent or as a grandparent buy, allow them to use, makes tremendous difference. But preacher, everybody else has got it. Big deal. My kid's going to be left out. Big deal. Would you rather have your kid in heaven with you or not? Would you rather see your kid grow up to be a godly young man or a godly young woman or not? Sometimes it's a hard choice. Sometimes it is a hard choice. But those choices make all the difference in the world. Out of our innermost being, out of our innermost being, is the way we speak and we act. And as Jesus tells us, it's what we feed into that innermost being that make all the difference in the world. And we have a choice. We have a choice. You know, my wife was at the mercy room Friday evening, and they took us back to her room, and I tell you, she said, "Look at that TV up there." And it was some kind of stupid, ungodly program. And we couldn't find a remote to turn it off. I said, "Who watches that trash?" I'm glad we didn't stay there long. Fortunately, I was looking this way, you know, and the TV was up there, but she was having to look right at it. Folks, it's vitally important what you feed into that inner man Because what's down in the well is what's going to come up in the bucket. You know, as you strive to hear from God and to put things into our life that are from God, and not just hear them, but to imply them and do them. You may have heard the story about the preacher that went to a new church, preached a sermon, people left, said, "Preacher, that was a great sermon." First sermon there, said, "You know, you preached a great sermon." Come back the next Sunday, he preached the same sermon. Sort of puzzled people, but we can live with it. Third sermon, third Sunday, same sermon. Fourth Sunday, same sermon. So finally the deacons went to him and said, "Don't you have more than one sermon?" He said, "Oh yeah, I got plenty of sermons, but no use preaching another one until you do what I told you in the first one." You know, that's the thing about the Word of God. It's not just to become head knowledge, but become heart knowledge, innermost being knowledge, which comes out into the way we live. Whether our family, on the job, in the church, in all of our decisions. This is the Word of God. And when we allow it to become the deciding force in not only what I learn, but what I do and how I live, our lives are changed. We become a blessing to the kingdom of God. We become a blessing to others. We're blessed ourselves. What's down in your well is what's going to come up in your bucket. It's just the way it is. Just the way it is. Oh, we can grit our teeth and fake it a little while. But when the chips are down, over the long run, that innermost being is going to project itself in our outermost words and outermost actions. It's not important what's in your wallet. What's important is what's in your well. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? That's the start. Inviting Jesus Christ into your heart. If you've never received Jesus, we invite you to do that. If you're here this morning and you know that there's some things not right in your life, you can make them right where you are. You can come to the altar and talk to the Lord. You can come and talk with me. We're going to have a time of invitation. God would speak to your heart in any way that you need to respond publicly. I invite you to come. Don't wait and think, "Well, you know, some other time." God's speaking to your heart. Would you come now? And respond to what God is saying to you that you need to do.